Today on Real Radio.
Only in America and Canada, maybe. In a lot of parts, in the majority of the world, it can cost you your life. It can cost you your life. And Paul's writing to Timothy saying, hey, if a man desires, if he's stretching out longing after something, this office of an overseer, he desires a good work, or the office is a good work. It's a great office. It's a holy office. It's an office ordained and called to by God. That is a good thing. But the man had better check his motives. I like what Alan Redpath says. He said the public anointing was the outcome, or is the outcome, of what has taken place private between a man and his God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in a mini-series called Qualifications for the Ministry. Timothy was young at the time, and his mentor, Paul, had many more years under his belt. It's a presentation that takes a look at the first seven verses of chapter 3, called quite simply, Qualifications for the Ministry. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
This portion of Scripture does not mean you have to be perfect to be a pastor. But this one thing that none of you can judge me on, and I stand with Paul the Apostle in saying that no man judges me, for Christ judges me. And it is this. I have a heart for God. I have a heart after Jesus. I get angry. I go over 55 miles an hour. I do things that I ought not to do, and they're wrong, and they're sinful, and I hate them. Okay? But my heart is wholly for the Lord. And I want you to know that I had to say that to tell you it's very difficult to go over these things without me being sorely convicted and at the same time encouraged by the Holy Spirit. So Paul says this. This is a trustworthy or faithful saying. I think this is the second of five sayings he makes this statement. If a man desires, if the man desires the ministry, this word in the Greek means to stretch out after or to long. It can also be translated lust. And by the way, in the translation of this word desire, you see the very first desire? It also is neutral. It doesn't mean good or bad. It can be taken good or bad, which is very fearful. A man can have a ministry for the desire and be the wrong motives, the wrong desires. And I want to say this. When a person comes to Christ, I know what's going on, and you do too, but when they come, the first thing they want to do, I had a brother about 3 weeks ago. He just got saved in the living room of our house. Then he came here, and he came after service. He goes, I want to be a pastor. I want to stand up there and do that. And well, I understand what he means, but I also understand what's going on. We have to be careful in the ministry, and that's why I think it takes years. That when you come to Christ, you make that commitment, you follow hard after Jesus with all of your heart. God begins to prepare the ministry for you, and you for the ministry. And you've got to be careful, because people who are recent converts, or they've come off from a backslidden state and they want to be in the ministry, they want to transfer the things of the world, the pomp, the glory, the attention, faces looking at them, especially if they, you know, had that before, and they want to bring it right into the ministry and say, well, I want to be a pastor. Well, I want you to put your thinking cap on for a minute. When Paul penned this to Timothy, do you know what it meant to be a pastor then? It nearly guaranteed certain death. Hey, man, in America, it's bucks. Not here, but somewhere in America. Money, fame, books, tapes around the world. Spotlights. Hey, only in America and Canada, maybe. In a lot of part, in the majority of the world, it can cost you your life. It can cost you your life. And Paul's writing to Timothy saying, hey, if a man desires, if he's stretching out longing after something, this office of an overseer, he desires a good work, or the office is a good work. It's a great office. It's a holy office. It's an office ordained and called to by God. That is a good thing. But the man had better check his motives. I like what Alan Redpath says. He said, the public anointing was the outcome, or is the outcome, of what has taken place private between a man and his God. I like that. The anointing should come privately. Christmas Evans says, preach the message to yourself first. Obey it, Pastor, first. Believe it first. And live it first. I like that. I like that real well. As we set in our hearts to follow Jesus Christ, we need to count the cost. And so, in verse 1, the motives of the ministry, what are the desires of the man pursuing the office? And people, between you and me, and I don't want to go any further, I have a hard time with this. I get real upset with this. I know people who are in ministries that have the biggest heads, the mega egos. They're like megalomaniacs, you know what I mean? And I don't understand it. I sit there and I argue with God. How can you let him keep going like this? Why don't you judge him, God? Give me a lightning bolt. I'll throw one over there. You know, give me one. And I tell you, you know, I want to follow the book. I want to follow the Spirit. And then, you know, I'm doing it by the book. And then, you know what happens? I start saying, well, God, why don't you bless me like that? I'm walking right by the book. And you see this other group or this other thing and this, you know, and they're just going off into the heavens, you know. And you know what? God speaks to my heart. Shut up. And this is hard because I want, you know, I want judgment, you know. Not on me, but. And God says, you know, I'll have the final word. I'll have the final say. You know, but, I want it like my taco, like now. I want everything now. And God goes, later. And I've got to be content with that. And that's real hard for me. I ask you to pray for me over that. I have a hard time with that. But if he desires this office as a bishop, and you see that word bishop, it can be translated elder, or what's better, and some of your Bibles have it translated as overseer. That word bishop is translated episcopo. Episcopo in the Greek, it's where we get this form, by the way, of this Calvary Chapel, this church government, an episcopos type of government. That means if you read the book of Acts and other epistles, that Paul and Timothy and others went to cities and they established bishops or elders or overseers in each church. And it means this, that there will be elders in a body as there are elders here, but there will be one overseer, or what we call in this day senior pastor. He's the one that oversees all the things of the church, the finances, the doctrine, all this. That's why I get in trouble for everything. That's why senior pastors get in trouble for a lot of things. But that is a scriptural calling. It's called an episcopos type of government. It means this, and I want you to hear this. It means that if the church is taught anything cockeyed, God's going to judge that man. If the church is blessed, then God will leave that man alone. Okay? If the church gets into silly carnal things, that shepherd is responsible for the conduct of that church. By the way, in this church, being an episcopos type of church, the board doesn't tell me what to preach on. The board doesn't tell me how long I can be in a message or what we're doing at the next message. I get those from the Lord. And by the way, I wouldn't work in under any other conditions, because this is the office that Timothy's talking about. But here's my point. If you are involved in a church that has a pastor as a puppet, where people are calling the shots for him, they tell him what to preach on, you know what? That is the number one way to kill a man of God. You want to know why? Because he's not going to pray anymore. You've ripped the heart, the divine calling, right out of his life. And he will become a nothing but a poor little puppet, and he'll just move to your demands or to the board's demands, and they'll say, preach on this. You said that you should say this. And the man is no longer hearing from God. He's no longer personally responsible for the conduct of the sheep. Now, the board or people are, and you've got clicks and channels and little power plays. No. History has shown that the most effective fellowships have been those that have a man who is led by God, who fears the Lord, and has, listen, you should always look for this, listen. This is key. In any church you ever go to, you should look at the quality of the men that the pastor has surrounded himself with. Are they yes men? Then get out of there. Or are they men who love and fear God and they're hearing the Lord? It's a beautiful thing when it works right. And this is a bishop, an overseer. That's his, it's his office. In modern day vernacular, we can say that he's a superintendent in a real way. And so, we go on. A bishop, verse 2, then must be blameless. Oh boy, let's stop. That word is a heavy word. It means to be one who is actually, I don't know how to explain this. You know, on a tree, when you're trying to climb a tree and it's got some old branches that have been cut off and you can grab those old branches, those nubs that stick out, and you can pull yourself up and climb the tree? That's what it means. He shouldn't be nubby. He shouldn't have things sticking out that you can lay hold on. That's what that means. You can't lay hold on the guy. And I know some of you feel that way. I'll be walking down the hallway. No, I'm kidding. That was a joke. Forget it. No. Stop nodding your head. Yes, I saw that. It means this, that as you are conducting the office as an overseer of the church, you shouldn't see me standing out in my lawn watering with a beer in my hand. Hey, man, praise the Lord. I can't do that. You shouldn't be able to see me doing things that are gray, questionable things. To not give anything to you the ability to grab onto me and say, but here's an inconsistency. Here's a problem here that is scripturally wrong. Okay? And so it's an important thing. It's a very important thing. Unable to hold on to. In 2 Timothy 3:10, Paul goes on to tell us there, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. Here he says, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Now, people, if you're going to take a stand for godliness and holiness, he goes on in 2 Timothy to say, everyone who lives godly will suffer persecution. If you set your heart upon the ministry and begin to step out and move in the ministry, people, even Christians, are going to slam you. You're going to be attacked by sometimes even your own home. Maybe an unbelieving parent or daughter or son might say, what are you doing? It's ridiculous. If you commit in your heart to live godly, people are going to come against that. But this is a tremendous thing that God calls us to this holy office. William Hendrickson says, and I love this deeply. He says, we need to be careful when we consider, or we ourselves consider the office as an overseer. We should take this one primary thought into consideration. The office of an overseer should seek the man. The man not to seek the office. That is wisdom, and I love that. There's a lot of power in that statement that he makes there. And so he says that the man is to be blameless, the husband of one wife. People, number one, don't assume this. If God is calling you into the ministry as a pastor or an assistant pastor, it doesn't mean you have to have a wife. It means you're to be the husband of one wife. And I'm going to give you a couple of interpretations because there's books and books and books written on this. It means this to some. You're to be the husband of one wife means you're not to be in a polygamous type of relationship. Well, okay, that kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? I'll buy that. Your heart's to be after your own wife, not somebody else's wife. You're to have a heart for her. And I want to get back to what I just said, but the other interpretation is, once you become a Christian, and by the way, I hold to two of these views, and this is one of them. Since you've become a Christian, you're not to be divorced and then brought back into the ministry as a pastor. Why? Because it brings reproach to the ministry. Somebody will sit down and talk with you in counseling. Let me tell you, it doesn't work right. And we want to avoid bringing reproach to the ministry. If you were divorced 35 times and then came to Jesus Christ and you're married now to a beautiful, godly woman and things are doing fine, you qualify. But if you're a Christian and your Christian home has entered the state of divorce, then you cannot be a pastor. And we know pastors that are disqualified by the Word of God, yet they themselves are collecting salaries and are preaching against the Word. Now, getting back to this most important thing here, you're to have a heart after your own woman, your own wife. I want to share this. I can tell you now that I have a heart for my wife. I do not desire anyone else. When I think thoughts, I think of her, and I rejoice in that. And I praise God for it, because if you're in the ministry, any ministry, the enemy will come and tempt you in those areas. And you need to have a heart. You need to be a man who's in love with one woman and preferably your wife. It had better be her. If not, the enemy, Satan, his little cohorts, will see to it that they come and knock on your door in that area. It's a very serious thing. Some of you may be quenched at what I'm saying. I tell you, go study it yourself. If you're quenched, you're supposed to be studying the Bible anyway if you want to be a pastor. Go study and see if this is true. I'm not kidding. James says, don't many of you become teachers. You will receive the greater condemnation. That means in Judgment Day, there'll be those coming up and God will judge and judge. And then here comes a man who opened the Word of God to people and God will go, okay, bring out the black book. And let's go down that list now. A greater condemnation, a greater judgment. We don't take this to ourselves. It's not something that you just, well, I think, wake up one day, I want to be a pastor now. I want to golf. I want to goof off. It's incredible, some things that people think. But the husband of one wife, he's to be a husband of one wife. She's to satisfy him. And by the way, this goes for all of us men, if you're married. You're the pastor. I have a strange logic, but praise God, it's spread to all the Malachi men. I have a belief in my heart that you're a pastor in your home long before you're ever a pastor in the pulpit. I believe that you're the priest in your home before you're ever the priest in the pulpit. You will lead your family in prayers at home before you ever come to the pulpit. And because of that, I believe that each of us men who have a home are pastors of our homes. And we need to realize that. And if our women are not satisfying to us, don't change her. Don't change her. You ask God to change your heart. If she's not satisfying to you, you better ask God to change your heart, mister. Because you're to love her with all your heart. And I believe that with all of my being because I know it's true. In this world of Madison Avenue hype, we need to be content with our wives and God will give us a heart to love them. And it's a very serious thing. And it better be happening in the ministry, see, because the enemy will come and derail you in a very horrible way. And so he goes on to say that the minister, the overseer of the church, the pastor's to be a temperate man, a vigilant, some of your King James translations might have. In the Greek, it literally means in the middle or the level or a mean, not the high, not the low, but a mean. It can be translated straight-headed. He needs to be a straight-headed man. Somebody who's not swinging up on this side with doctrine and down here with emotion. This over here with pleasure and way over there with labor. He needs to be a middle-of-the-road, level-headed kind of guy. Not some kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants person. Then he goes on and he says, of a sober mind or sober-minded. Very interesting word. It means literally to be sound in thoughts, to have sound thoughts, to be serious. And I want to say something. It's not serious in the way of being a bummer to everybody. What are you doing? Studying for the studying for the ministry. You know, it's so weird. A couple weeks ago, I got my hair cut, and the lady's cut my hair, and she goes, so what do you do for a living? You know, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. How come you're not at work? It's my lunchtime. And I'm a pastor. And she goes, so what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a pastor. Are you serious? You know, and you know the big mirror in front of you? I'm like looking at myself. Like, what is it? Is there like a big nose with a mustache in there? And I go, what's the deal? She goes, well, I don't know. I mean, I think she thought that I was supposed to be like 95 years old with a black, you know, bag over my head and a black suit. And it was so strange. And, you know, my kids were not running around, but, you know, we're kind of goofing off and having a good time. And, you know, she thought, well, I'm supposed to be, you know, some kind of a morbid guy. And that's not what it means at all. It means this, sound thoughts, yes, in all things, it means that, but also to have very serious thoughts concerning the Bible, concerning doctrine, concerning the church. Serious thoughts. Sense of humor, absolutely. I think God has one personally. Nobody, hey, you can't slam God for not having a sense of humor. Anybody who can take a donkey and talk to a prophet out of the donkey's mouth, I think is hot. That is great. And the great thing is Balaam turned around and talked back to his donkey. You know, that's a great story. Read it in Numbers there. It's hilarious. But not now. But the thing is, very serious about doctrine. And we're serious about doctrine here. We're serious about the conduct of the church. I'm really blessed. I don't know if you know this or not, but we're real serious about a lot of things. And the world doesn't seem too serious about money or doctrine. And those are the areas that we seem to focus on the most here. Not that we ask for money. We don't do that. You know that. But when you give a dime, that dime better be accounted for. Because it isn't your dime. It's not our dime. It's God's dime.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, taking us through Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 3. It's a presentation called Qualifications for the Ministry, and we'll continue with more of this mini-series on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, last week we presented part of our teacher's What If series that challenged us to face the reality and historicity of Jesus of Nazareth and all that he claimed and accomplished. In fact, there's more than just what was presented here on Real Radio. Well, we're extending the offer that for your gift of any amount to Real Radio, you'll receive the entire CD series. Again, it's called the What If series, so identify it by title when you get in touch. And there's more than one way to do so. Here's our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can click realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. If you'd like to do it the traditional way, send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.